Now let's get to the Middle East. I promised we would be talking with David Dolan. He's the man who for over 30 years has been covering the Middle East, has great insight as to what is going on. What is of great concern to Israel is on the tip of David's tongue, and that's why he's an essential broadcast partner here with us on Prophecy Today. David, let me start off with the Geneva talks. Now, last you and I spoke, the Geneva talks were still going on, and it was last Saturday, and indeed, we didn't know which direction it was going to go. It failed. That was shuttled. Many people are saying France did that. The Prime Minister of Israel is continuing to try to keep it shuttled. They're going to have talks, it looks like, in a couple of days here, renewing those Geneva talks with the P5 plus one and the Iranian leadership. What is Israel thinking about this whole situation right now? Do you think that they have the advantage that indeed the Geneva talks are not going to be successful? Just what is the thought of the Israeli leadership?
Of course, watching along with everyone else and not certain what will be the final outcome. Iran, as you say, the deal in the end that was offered was a little bit tougher than they wanted, and so they no deal was signed at that point, but they're going to keep trying, as they've said. That may well have been due to France stepping in and insisting that a few more stringent conditions be put in. And again, we don't know exactly what is in this pending accord or this possible accord, although the British Guardian newspaper published a report they said was from an international United Nations inspector. He was the source of it, saying that indeed Iran would cease producing enriched uranium up to 20%, but they would still be allowed to produce it up to 3% for the purpose of running their nuclear reactors and for research on medical things. Well, the problem with that is you can also build a nuclear weapon from the remains of a nuclear reactor. There's two ways to go about doing it, and I'm not a scientist nor the son of a scientist, as you sometimes say, but certainly it is a process. They could build still nuclear weapons from that. So the Israelis are not satisfied with that at all. And also they want, as I mentioned last week, they want the centrifuges removed from Iran, not just shut down. They don't want them to be able to restart them at any time. And they just think that rewarding them with the lifting of some sanctions before they've actually done anything is kind of like giving President Obama the Nobel Peace Prize in his first year before he'd done anything to bring peace to anywhere. So it just seems vacuous, really, to the Israeli leadership, and of course dangerous. But Jimmy, I'm hearing they're most worried about a comment that the president made on Thursday during a press conference that he gave. It was mostly about Obamacare, but he was asked about Iran, and he said, quote, no matter how good our military is, military options are always messy. And he said any armed conflict has a cost to it. Well, basically, he seemed to be saying to the Israelis, forget about the military option from our side. We're just not prepared to engage Iran in that way at this point. You know, the Israelis then are more likely to do it themselves, as we've talked about before, because they feel this is a rotten deal, a bad deal that's being negotiated, and it will just allow Iran to continue to pursue its nuclear weapons with the international heat much reduced upon it.
And, of course, for Israel, it's a matter of life and death. Well, going along with what Obama said, talk to me about what one of the French legislators said to his foreign minister there in Geneva. He said he knew Benjamin Netanyahu very well, and he warned the member of the delegation from France there in the Geneva talks that if indeed they did not get a deal that would go along with what Israel needed and wanted to have happen, that Netanyahu would give the order for a preemptive strike. And that's what caused the French foreign minister to back off and seemingly scuttle these talks. What are you hearing about that?
Well, we've had statements from the former French president and the current French president for some years now saying that they realize Israel is serious about its statements, and it isn't just coming from Netanyahu. We've got to remember this is the entire Israeli leadership. President Peres has talked about it, former Prime Minister Olmert, Ariel Sharon, when he was still awake and speaking in the mid-2004-05, he talked about it. It's always been the policy that they will take military action if they feel they have to. the French have believed that. They've always taken Israel at its word on that, apparently, because they've said so. Indeed, you know, they're dealing with you mentioned it earlier, an existential question here. This isn't just one issue amongst many for Israel. This is a country, again, 50 times the size of Israel in geography, a country of over 60 million people. Israel has 7 or 8 million, 8 million now. You know, a country whose leaders have repeatedly vowed to wipe Israel off the face of the earth and who have a militia puppet force right on Israel's border that has some 60,000 rockets aimed at Israel. This is a very existential issue for Israel. Will we survive? And again, we're talking about the Jewish people who went through the Holocaust. So I think the Europeans tend to understand that a little bit better, Jimmy, than the Americans. They see the U.S. Jewish community very safe and solvent and not much in the way of attacks against them. And they don't take it so seriously. The French, on the other hand, you know, a lot of attacks against the Jewish community there. A lot of Jews have been killed over the last two decades in such attacks. They understand the history a bit better. And I think they just know that Netanyahu is not going to just sit around if he feels that a bad deal has been done. And it's going to hurt Israel. It's going to hurt U.S.-Israeli relations even more than they are already suffering. But again, it's an existential threat, and he is the prime minister. And as John Kerry said, he recognizes that he will defend his country in any way he feels he has to. And America wouldn't oppose an Israeli action, but maybe wouldn't support it. And that would be a shame if it came to that, I think.
There was a very interesting editorial in one of the Israeli newspapers said, "Can it happen?" And when you read it, you found out, yes, it can, and they are prepared for a preemptive strike on the Iranian nuclear program, which Israeli intelligence tells us that indeed they are preparing a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. Let's change the focus just a little bit down south to Egypt. The United States cut off their foreign aid to Egypt. That irritated the Egyptian leaders. Now Russia has rushed into that vacuum. Looks like they're trying to arm Egypt. This has to be of some kind of concern. And at the same time, the Saudi Arabians, they've got weapons out of Pakistan, and they're looking to Russia as well. I mean, this mix in the Middle East is very interesting.
It is indeed, and very dangerous. And Jimmy, what the Israelis, I'm told, are worried the most about concerning Russia's approach to Egypt is a suggestion that they will move their naval base from Latakia, which is a Syrian port city north of Lebanon, right on the Syrian Mediterranean coast, that they'll move it from there because, of course, Syria's engulfed in war and the Israelis have struck near there, as we talked about last week, and other things. And move it to Egypt, move it to Alexandria. Well, that would certainly strengthen Russia's influence over Egypt tremendously. It would leave a Russian naval port right close, pretty close to Tel Aviv. Alexandria is only about, I'm just calculating in my mind, but it's about 60 miles, I'm guessing, from Tel Aviv, whereas Latakia is about 150 miles north of Israel. So they wouldn't like that at all. And, of course, it's frankly being blamed on the Obama administration's dropping of that financial support. And as you said, the press reports that the Saudis have been funding part of Pakistan's nuclear program and that they have already on order several nuclear bombs, that they could take delivery of those within 1 month's time. And the prediction from one Israeli a former military head of military intelligence was that if these talks break down or it looks like Iran is going nuclear, the Saudis will get those nuclear weapons of their own delivered immediately afterwards. So we're talking about a nuclear arms race that could begin the moment that these talks fail or that Iran seems to be getting off the hook. And the Saudis are as unhappy about that as the Israelis are. And that has to be pointed out. The Sunni Arabs are very frightened about a nuclear-armed Iran, as we've talked about before. So a very disturbing development and something that maybe John Kerry should be focusing on a little bit more than the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, which continues to go nowhere.
Exactly. Going absolutely no place. Well, the Middle East continues to be a cinder block that could flame into all type of eruption, which, of course, is what's called for in Bible prophecy. So we're watching all the current events, basically setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. David Dolan is a man who covers the Middle East for us, longtime journalist in Jerusalem. He knows what's going on. He gives us great insight. David, thank you so much for, again, this week, helping us to understand all that is happening in that region. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.